When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go.
This whole podcast is a result of me starting to rewild my life.
If we're not willing to feel the feelings within, then that's going to affect everything in our life, but especially what's happening within our orgasms and within our sex and within the people that we're attracting in. So in my world, we call that pleasure practice. The end game might be orgasm, or it might just be that we actually slow down and fill our nipples. That really woke me up to how I was in bed with my partner, right? Was I making eye contact? Was I attuned to his needs?
So many women have hangups about it. They won't look at their own vagina. They don't know how it works.
I believe there's 10 women that live inside of us. Stripping is actually one of the most masculine dances there is because it's so transactional. And watching your body when you were saying that, I mean, there's was something really yummy and juicy when you were saying it.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Happy Saturday, guys. Well, I've got another really fascinating guest today. Today I have Sandy Sembler, and she's recognized as the women's embodiment expert. She weaves richly embodied life experiences, feminine and masculine dynamics, and trauma-informed somatics into her sacred she method, guiding the modern-day woman to liberate her past, unapologetically reclaim and rewild her powerfully unique voice and intuition, and step out of the shadows to light up the world with her fullest expression. Okay, holy shit, I'm already feeling optimistic after reading that. I feel better already about my day, and I'm super excited to have you here for this interview.
So good.
Oh my God.
Thank
you. How did you have a bad interview after that? Well, I just kind of want to state intentionally, I am loving the word rewild. And that I underlined that in my intro because that right there had some light bulbs going off for me. I don't know what you know about me, but this whole podcast is a result of me starting to rewild my life. And when I rewilded my life, it was about going on a sexual exploration for a year and having a sex bucket list and knocking things off the list and keeping track of through this podcast. It was really to just memorialize what that was doing to me, capture those changes. And I was really curious about if I did all this and I let loose and I did stuff that completely before I'd never put time, energy, and focus into, who would that make me? What was I becoming? I was fascinated with the process. So I wanted to document it. And that's where this podcast started.
Fantastic. Yeah, I did my research too. So when we sent an invitation to you, so I'm excited to meet you as well.
Yeah. And so I guess I would say I'm on like a sexual exploration, but I'm on this journey to rewild my life, and I have, and it's been amazing. So just before we jump into, you know, all the questions I've got for you, can you just give me a little bit about your background? Because I'm really curious how you found your way to becoming a woman's embodiment expert.
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth for sure, right?
There's probably a great story there.
It is a great story, and I'll be as concise as I can. Essentially, I think I was born an entrepreneur. So I've been moved out before I graduated from high school, been really working since I was 12. And so I was just always on this path and very driven and not really realizing that a lot of that came from a lot of childhood trauma. I didn't even know that. In 2014, I was in a relationship, and actually, let me back up. I actually was left an abusive marriage. I have to say that. That time I rewilded. Left an abusive marriage, and I did what I thought was right. I did 2 years of counseling, 2 to 3 times a week. I was like playing full out, just like I played out in business. And then as soon as I started dating again, I ended up in a very similar relationship than the one that I had left. Very similar, like same song, different record. And my best friend was like, Sandy, this is something that you need to pay attention to. These are patterns, like something's going on. And she's like, I need you to get in front of Tony Robbins. And I'm like, what? So long story longer is I actually did do that. And I had an intervention with Tony for about 4 hours with my partner at the time. And Tony, the three of us broke up our relationship in Fiji. And what the 4 hours was really about, honestly, Layla, was how I was a successful woman in many ways, but not successful in life, right? And I was very, very masculine in how I was showing up in the world because of trauma, because I was getting things done. And so that's how the masculine feminine energetics came into my world. I was actually, my business was coaching women around the world in entrepreneurship. And when I really stepped back, similar to what we talked about earlier, and I started looking around, I woke up and I went, wow, I'm working with all these women, helping them really create these beautiful lives, but are they really fulfilled? Are they really satisfied? And it wasn't just about the romantic partnerships, it was really about within themselves. And that's really when the whole rewilding started. I mean, I just basically control alt deleted my entire life and went on this crusade to study with teachers around the world because I wanted to understand the dynamics. And so this was about 10 years ago before people started talking about the energetics so much. And as you know, it's not gender specific. I mean, we have the masculine, feminine, all of us. But what we're finding now, you know, 10 years later, as I've been doing this work and bringing it into my work, and Sacred She is essentially my healing journey. And so every modality that I have gone through to help me heal, or I've been interested in, because I'm a seeker, I'm going to bring it back to the world. And my Dharma is really my life. And the more that I'm, you know, stubbing my toe, the more I'm going to learn and share it. So that's how I ended up here in this space. And I think that we're in
Earth school. My Dharma, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, it reads that way. And
that's what I've been doing. I've just been like sharing this and letting people be a part of this journey because I know that it's going to help them too.
100%.
They get to just take whatever they need. I consider the podcast kind of like, it's like those little libraries you find out in front of people's house. You take a book and you leave a book. It's like, if what you need is here, take it, you know, and whatever little bit of what I'm talking about that resonate with you, that it's not going to be all of it, but there might be something really important in there.
I think so. I love that you even have Curious in the name of your show, because I think that with me, what I find that so many women, depending on their background, is that we've lost that childlike curiosity. And I mean, curiosity in all things. So getting in touch with that little girl within, the naughty little girl, right? The little girl who's the good girl, all the different archetypes, it all plays out. And I believe how we do anything is how we do everything. And so I love what you're doing because everybody's a voyeur, whether they want to admit it or not, right? It's like, so whether they're going to actually state it that they really are interested in sex and just their bodies alone, which I hope we'll talk about that today, just the body itself. I mean, just the skin that we're in, I find that the more I'm working with women, I'm amazed at how so many of us are afraid to actually feel the feelings within. And if we're not willing to feel the feelings within, then that's going to affect everything in our life, but especially what's happening within our orgasms and within our sex and within the people that we're attracting in, for sure.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because what just jumped out to me is, I mean, a lot of women don't take time to masturbate. And I consider that, I call it mindful masturbation. Like sometimes I'm in a hurry and I just need to knock one off. But other times, I mean, I am full on making love to myself and connecting with myself. And it's amazing. Let me tell you how good I am in bed. Because yes. I know.
Well, we call that.
Somebody else is telling me, I know how I make myself feel. And that's the intention I take when I'm with a partner, is that I want to make them feel that good.
I love that you said that. And may I opine and add something to that? Because that's really
absolutely
so good. So in my world, we call that pleasure practice. So because masturbation has more of like a very go get it done kind of a thing, where we talk about pleasure practice, right? The end game might be orgasm, or it might just be that we actually slow down and feel our nipples and feel, even if we have stubble on our legs, how can we actually even make that erotic, right? How can we just slow it down? And sometimes we want it fast, whatever that is. So in that pleasure practice, I mean, it doesn't have to always be slow. It can be, to your point, it could be, let's get it done. Because everybody wants a quickie sometimes, whether it's even with me, myself, and I. I have menage a trois with me, myself, and I. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. I remember too, if I may, in one of my certifications for embodiment, I had really entered into the world of, it's like sensual movement. And so many people think embodiment is just sensual movement. But the way I teach embodiment is, as I mentioned, and I'll back up a second. When I work with a woman and we talk about the emotions that they actually avoid the most, the feelings underneath, a lot of times what I find is joy and rage are the two emotions that women are not easily accessible in the beginning when I work with them. And so embodying sacred rage, like guttural mama bear, like advocate, like, no, you know, not another minute more kind of a thing. And so there's a way that I give embodiment practice after I get to know someone. And for example, for me, it would be skipping. Like my teacher, when I first started doing this work, I think 3 years in, he said, you know, you have an addiction to being disappointed. You have an addiction to being disappointed, an addiction to being not sad, but just, you just sort of assume you're going to be disappointed in a partner, right? And so therefore it shows up like the law of attraction. And so they had me do a skipping practice where literally I had to be in this group. It was 10 minutes a day skipping in public. And what that does to the nervous system is it actually rewires the brain, right? That you're actually not going to die for feeling joy. It's really hard to be depressed, unhappy when you're skipping, right? And it sounds so silly, but that's an interesting embodiment practice, because if we can't tap into joy, then we're not going to be able to truly tap into these other pleasure centers that are there too, to stay on track, right? So I remember when I was at this certification I had already been in the sensual movement and hadn't really gone into this other piece of embodiment, which is more about just in the moment to moment practice of how are we feeling in the moment, which allows us to open up this portal, portal everywhere, right? And I remember it was 18 people in the class, had to go, it was men and women, go to the front. And we were to basically pleasure practice. We weren't nude or naked, but we had to just like basically move. And then they would interpret us. And when I was done, you know, it was like, you know, kind of a thing. And it was, but the men said, where's room for us? Where's room for us? And I was so into myself. It really woke me up. And I was like, this is interesting based on what you shared. Like I was so into my own pleasure that there wasn't room for a partner necessarily. Right. And so I'm curious what you think about that, because I know for me, I love my pleasure practice. It's really helped me understand my body so much. And that really woke me up to how I was in bed with my partner, right? Was I making eye contact? Was I attuned to his needs? And it sounds like you already are, but that was a big wake-up call for me years ago to really pay attention to, who am I doing this for? And it's not for someone else. It's for me, that then it becomes an act of devotion, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, because it just, my point is, first of all, if you're not confident in yourself sexually,
right,
as your foundation, and even so, something as basic as even touching yourself, like, how can you ever expect to get the satisfaction that you want and need out of someone else? And how can you ever expect to bring the satisfaction that someone else is hoping for? Because you haven't kind of done the work to get yourself right and centered in that area of your life.
100%.
And so you're kind of like an empty pot. And if he's an empty pot, it just doesn't end up work, you know, it doesn't end up going well. And I think that's why we have all these mismatched libidos and things that we've given all these other labels to. And part of it is, I think that, I'll speak to my opinion on women. I think we're really behind in being okay with our femininity, with our own sexual prowess and desires and wants and needs and what makes us feel really good. And then finding someone to share that with us, experience with us, like with the experience of what makes us feel good and what makes them feel good. And bringing it together. And it's usually just, I find with women a lot of times is that the man is leading the experience, but not only is not being self-aware of her own sexuality help her not be a good, she can't lead or follow in that scenario.
Yes. And she can't receive. The feminine receives, right? So if she's unable to receive, I mean, even just imagining not just the penetration of him, but the penetration of his energy, if we're not able to receive that, to your point, and that is, I mean, that's again, speaking of just the masculine feminine energetics, I mean, to be able to receive that. And that starts outside of the bedroom. It's like, are you able to receive a compliment? When someone compliments you, do you go, oh, this silly thing? Or do you stop and go, wow, you know, I really received that. I mean, something that simple will rewire the nervous system of like, yeah, you know, I received that.
Good news. Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show.
But also then just going back to why do they feel dirty or weird about their self-pleasure, about masturbation?
I mean, well, I don't, my opinion.
I like to use the clinical terms and I sure. like to be comfortable with them.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's why I say masturbation. I'm not trying to be crass, like, I'll masturbate. It's a good thing. This is a good thing. And I know so many women have hangups about it. They won't look at their own vagina. They don't know how it works. They're afraid to say, well, no, I don't come vaginally. I need clitoral stimulation. And they can't, it's just like, you're just dead out of the gates, you know, and you're really setting yourself for disappointment. And then also, unwillingly, you're putting all that responsibility on somebody else to figure you out. And you're saying to them, oh, I don't know what I like, but you just go ahead and just show me what I like.
Two codependence in the bedroom just doesn't make for a hot, steamy love affair.
It doesn't work because, again, I know most men will really try. I mean, they derive a lot out of making you feel good. I have honestly found most men to be very generous and they really want to get it right. But you're asking them to muddle around in the dark and you're not willing to give them any feedback. And it's like these poor guys, you know, I mean, you just give them a little direction. I promise they will take it. Like they are so eager
to please. Well, they are. I mean, that is primal for men to actually want to make us happy. And I don't mean like the good boy kind of a thing, but they really want to. So just without even necessarily telling them where to go, more of our responsiveness, the feminine responsiveness. Oh, and the moaning and this. And I mean, they will keep going and they will want to. I mean, you're so right on time.
They really do. And it's funny because I haven't even asked you my first question, but we already started talking about it. And what it really was just about what does living as an embodiment of feminine pleasure and purpose mean to you? And how individuals can start tapping into that for themselves.
Yeah, we did touch on that a bit. We can actually.
We kind of went all around it.
Yeah, we did. I love it.
This is like my first question.
You're so fun. Oh my gosh! I think you're fantastic. I think for me personally, as I mentioned, I mean, I think that we live our life moment to moment to moment. To your point and your teachings, is like, does it have to just be in the bedroom? Can't we allow our entire life to be eroticism? I mean, can it be? I mean, even the way slowing down and when I'm drinking my bubble water, will I allow the bubbles to sit on the back of my throat and let me feel it, right? It literally is in those micro moments. You know, we teach how to make art out of the mundane, letting your emotions be artful, really paying attention to the five senses is a great way to get started. I think we were giving you guys the quiz for, you know, for your audience to take, and so they can actually kind of go a little bit deeper in the work. But living as embodiment is actually being able.
Now, I'm going to link to all of that stuff too in the show notes, by the way.
So. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, yeah. Great. Yeah. So it's like, honestly, it really is in those moments of not waiting till at the end of the day to then feel soft and yummy or fierce. It really is like, how do you wake up in the morning and decide, who do I want to be today? I teach.
Have you listened to my podcast?
Yeah, yes. I listened to a couple episodes. I'm like, this is going to be fun. My assistant went, oh my God, I can't wait for this one. She was so excited. But I believe there's 10 women that live inside of us, and really 20 if you consider their shadows. And they all have, you know, it's a different way to teach the archetypes. And I think that because there are, if we're truly in our feminine, we are feeling probably at least 25 emotions within a few minute time period. And it's a beautiful thing to let it flow through us, not just because it feels good to not, but it actually feels good from a health standpoint because it keeps us alive a lot longer because we're not holding all that stuff in. You know, again, it's intentional. When I first started doing this work 10 years ago, I was my lumbar spine. I mean, I was stiff as a board. You know, that curve at the base of the spine where your tush goes, you know, your ass goes out like that. I was tucked under because I was in such primal space. Like when dogs' tails go under their legs when they're scared, our pelvic bone will tilt. And we will, because if we've been through a lot of trauma, our body will actually form to that. So I had to do a lot of work to actually, and I don't mean like with a doctor, but just movement, hip circles and things like that to expand my body. But again, to get started, it is simple as sometimes it's just a matter of closing our eyes and touching our thighs and allowing ourselves to feel in that moment. There's so many different embodiment practices. I mean, even doing something like grabbing a pillow or your kid's bat and grabbing a pillow and putting on a Nine Inch Nails song and going it takes about 10 minutes sometimes, just like it takes 10 minutes for our dogs when we're walking them to calm down. It takes us sometimes about 10 minutes. You and I could be calm as we are right now. And if I gave you a bat and we started beating the heck out of it and we really let you get into it, I guarantee you there would be tears. You would get into the rage. There would be a change besides the two of us just kind of hitting off right now. Because, and not that we're trying to evoke anger, but we're trying to get to the feelings underneath that maybe have just allowed us to be a little bit more callous in how we're showing up in the world.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love everything that you're saying. I also really resonated with, God, I don't even know if I'm going to get through my questions today because I have so many comments, but I can relate to a lot of when I read your backstory, just about, it sounds very similar to mine, which was more just like I've been an entrepreneur. I felt like I came out of the womb an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Always wanted to work hard, make money. I saw my parents were entrepreneurs. I saw the lifestyle that they lived and what that brought them. And I was just like, and it never occurred. It just always occurred to me, if I wanted something, I could earn it. And I knew how, like, I could use my mind. And
what a gift. Isn't that such a gift?
It is a gift. However, I tend to, if it works, I will absolutely repeat, but I'll go to an extreme with it and I will hyperfixate on it. And then that becomes the only thing that is worth pursuing. And anything that gets in the way of that, like romantic relationships, intimacy, then that gets pushed out. And so that's how this whole started, this podcast started, because I hadn't had sex in 3.5 years. I just completely, anything that was to the detriment of my business and making money, forget it.
I understand.
And because I started to really identify and just be in that masculine energy and wear it all the time, didn't understand that this serves you over here, but it's not who you are. And you got to kind of take that off. Otherwise, you know,
it's both of us. It really is both. And for me, that key, and thank you for sharing that too, because it's important, I think, for others to hear other women talk about that is something that we struggle with. I think we're seeing it more and more and more as people are really realizing, like, the whole girl boss babe thing is not my jam. I mean, I think that, it's not, Layla. And I know that a lot of women who work with me, I mean, they end up actually creating more income, quite frankly, with a lot less efforting, because they're allowing their into the feminine intuition to lead them more. And if we had more men who had a healed feminine energy, it would be a whole different planet, right? And so if more women stopped trying to be men out there and actually allowed their masculine, I mean, the masculine got me here on time. The masculine had me test Riverside yesterday. That's our masculine energy as our integrity. But the feminine is the two of us getting on and immediately before saying hi, we're talking about all the things we talked about, right? Because that's just, that is the, because the feminine wants to belong. We want community. We're able to see into things. We're craving intimacy. If we were just masculine, it would just be, I'd be two talking heads here. And it would be informational, but it may not be that entertaining, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's super important. I think the more women that, because listen, I can tell you when I owned my mortgage company, I live in Tampa Bay, and Tampa was known for like stripper capital of the world for a long time. I don't really know why, but there is a strip, no pun intended, of stripper. Yeah. And I remember when stated income was like a super big thing. And I actually, got this account, and I got to tell you, I closed a lot of loans for this particular like famous place here. And they were some of the nicest, most amazing women, girls, moms, what have you. And they had it together, and they were there to basically sock away a lot of money, whatever people think about it. I have to tell you, it changed my way of thinking growing up in South Carolina, the Bible Belt, all of that. I have so much respect. And I will tell you, they would say it is so transactional. Stripping is actually one of the most masculine dances there is, because it's so transactional. They are moving to get money, right? So it's actually quite masculine. And so I stay in touch with a couple of the girls, and it's just so interesting when they got out of that and moved into the next phase of their career, how they had turned off so much of their pleasure because they kind of needed to, right? So interesting. So interesting how that works. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point. And I just wonder, you gave me another just interesting thought to sort of conjugate on. It's like, okay, so our women that are really successful, and that when we're working hard and we're at that point where we're making a lot of money, do we inherently know that maybe we have to turn off that feminine side of us because we do understand inherently in some way men really lead in that category? This is not to be about sexism. This is just
not at all.
So to me, this is about biology and survival and how we used to survive, and how now we're just moving into a different time where we have all these opportunities, which I'm very thankful for. But I also see a trend in women where I was too, where we have kind of run ourselves off in the ditch a little bit because
Absolutely. We
haven't really understood how powerful the feminine side of us is. The feminine, we think that masculine energy is what we need to emulate and live our lives as in order to be successful, when actually,
yeah,
it's not our natural state of being. It will wear us out faster. We're not designed for it. Men are. They're used to handle that stress. I mean, the burnout I had was unbelievable.
100%.
At such a young age.
Yeah.
That I was just, I mean, I literally would be like, is this what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life?
Adrenal fatigue is real. But that's why I like to teach women like feminine movement and other practices so there is, I don't call it balance because there is no such thing as balance, but more about harmonization. Like, how do you harmonize the two energies even throughout the day? So, and listen, if people aren't, to your point earlier, if women aren't people, let's just say people in general, aren't in tune with their body, we don't even know when we're burned out until we're burned out. Like, we don't even know.
No, we're fucking burned out. Not like, seriously.
Right.
So you're staring at yourself in the mirror after 3.5 years of having no sex, and you're going, what the fuck are you doing?
100%. Yeah.
You are wasting the pretty. Get on, like, somebody needs to appreciate this. Get out there.
Yeah. I mean, I remember with Tony, I remember my friends like, get in the spit zone. You've got to be able. And I mean, I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I think I'm a cute girl. Like, I was so perplexed, like the first 15 minutes of talking to him. And then it was like, wow. And it went in. And then I worked for him for a couple of years. I went in to work with him. I was like, I've got to do this work with him, because no one had ever made me see the light like that before. And then turned me on to all these other teachers. And here we are. But no, it's so true. And I'm glad you said that. But even outside of the workforce, even as a single mom for me. I mean, talk about a masculine role, mothering. Being a mother is actually quite feminine, nurturing, right? A mother. But did you do your homework? Did you da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- space. On the flip side, like I have a 24-year-old son, and he talks about what it's like out there in the world. And he's like, God, dating is crazy because a lot of women, young girls, they don't, especially that age, they don't even know if they want to have their door open or not. Do they even want to have the check paid for? And so we're confused. But to your point earlier, I do think it's primal that we know. I think it's also been passed down. And I think with every generation that is going to become more and more fluid, I believe. And what I hope is that with more women that are teaching like I am, that we're like, listen, you can, I'm not going to say you can have it all and do that cosmopolitan BS because that's bullshit. But what, because you can't have it all. There is a,
I've said this on a lot on the show. You can have it all, just not at the same time.
Exactly. Right. And that is discipline. And that's actually masculine structure.
Your life is going to happen in chapters. It's not the whole book. It may just be a chapter. I've done a lot of stuff just completely out of the regular organized realm. You do this, you know, you do this, you do this, you do this, and this is how your life goes. I have mixed it up completely.
Eat dessert first.
Now, and where I was like, money first, the rest of this stuff later, financial security first, I'll give it to myself. I have just completely reorganized all that. But the fun part is that I've realized this all through focusing on sexuality, I can now focus on this part chapter in my life.
Yes.
Now it's time for this. And no, it didn't. Maybe the real, real, real romantic stuff should have come before where I am now. But now it's going to come. And the benefit for me is that I feel like, okay, I've been through so much business experience, life experience, the highs and lows of entrepreneurship. But through all that, like, and I've really realized the things I've done to my detriment and the detriment to past partners. And so now I'm like, well, okay, I have all that knowledge now. And now I know that how much more comfortable I am in just with my feminine energy. Whereas before, I completely was like, no, I mean, I was almost rebelling against it, I guess, if you want to call it. Like, that was like weaker weakness. I didn't like that. And
it makes sense
to even show that or to have that be like, even wear that around was like, no, you can't do that in business. And so now I'm just like, I feel like I'm so much more enlightened because I understand that it's just the opposite side. The masculine and the feminine is the same side. It's a different side of the same coin.
Exactly.
But together, what a wonderful balance it brings. And so if you're throwing it off by the way you live your life, you've got to work on reassessing that.
There's something there. It generally, I mean, listen, everything's formed. I mean, either it's generational and passed down, or it's our culture, or it's just life. I mean, there's so many different things to heal those pieces. You know, I love to use energy healing and stuff with my work. And it's, I mean, generally it's simple, but it's not easy because we've been wired this way. I mean, I was 41 when I found this work. And so here I am, my birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks, I'll be 53. And here I am, like in the space, and I've never felt more girly and in touch with like the little girl within I named her Simone, you know, I mean, all of that. And it's so important, but I have to tell you my relationship with women, I didn't even realize this. Like if I was around a feminine woman back then who was like flighty and didn't make decisions and all that stuff, I was like pretty put off. I didn't realize that I had good friends, but I didn't have a great relationship with my own feminine, much less tolerance for the others. We've all been around a man, by the way, who thinks we're too much, right? And it's like off-putting. But there's a lot of women who actually don't have a great relationship with the feminine within. And so not just their own masculine, like a lot of women that come and work with me will put them on a masculine cleanse. And that's not having sex. It's healing the masculine within.
There's women that are, a lot of women that are, the men are off put by their
femininity.
Mm-hmm. No. They're off put by their just who they are, right? Because are they?
Oh, like they're too much. They're very. Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is that because they're in touch with their, more in touch with their masculine?
Well, actually, it goes two ways. So it's interesting, and thank you for asking me that. When we close off our energy, right, for whatever reason, like there's these we call them the C's. When we try to criticize, we control, and we close off our energy. Generally, that happens when we don't feel seen, heard, understood, or feel safe. It's our primal way, toxic way to actually try to control the outcome. That's what we do as women. And so what the masculine wants, and this happens in the same sex couples as well, but whoever's more masculine, what they're wanting is they want the feminine energy. So if we sit down for dinner and we're still all, both in Zoom Redwood, like Zoom, here we are solid like this, and we're not vibrant, then there's nothing for them to play with. There's no polarity play. So the relationship can go stale. I'm talking about when a woman is emotional and she's really in touch with her feelings and she's with a partner who can't handle all the emotions. Like, oh my God, she's crying. Or it just either they smother us or they're like, they walk away and they leave because they can't handle it. Right. But also a man will be put off in a different way if there's no energy play there. And I'm not just talking about a sexy dress. I'm talking about life. Like, we are the life givers literally in the world. But I'm talking about, are we bringing energy into the room? Are we bringing life into the room? And I don't necessarily mean fake it necessarily, but are we even allowing him to lead or her to lead if she's a more feminine partner? Because so many of us are too busy trying to control the outcome, which is a masculine quality, right? Because we want to conserve energy, which is primal too. So it is, depending on how we were raised, our culture. Luckily, there's a whole slew of women like me that are out there wanting to teach this. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a farm and homeschool 8 kids and that kind of thing to actually be in touch with your feminine. It's a matter of allowing yourself the art of receptivity, the art of edifying and really healing your relationship with men in general. I mean, do you even like men? I like to pride myself. I'm a feminist who actually loves men. I have a course called Sacred Respect, which is how to teach us how to reset our relationship with the masculine, but also with men. It'll completely change your relationship. If things are in the dumps, it can change your relationship with your partner because we learn how to see him through the eyes of the divine. And we learn how to create more. There's more life within ourselves versus us just bitching or complaining, which will never work.
Well, I'm curious about that because you said how you're learning to see him through
the eyes of the divine.
Yes, that's right. And again, and that's really interesting that you say that because through the course of doing this over time, this whole podcast, one of the things that I've emphasized a lot and that I've talked about a lot on this show is just my increased knowledge and understanding and appreciation for men.
Yeah, beautiful.
And the more I have really kind of just stopped and tried to understand men and where they're coming from, all of a sudden that just puts you in this sort of observant, appreciative role.
Yes, sister. Yes.
And just because, again, I always go back to business. The one thing I always used to remind myself in business was seek first to understand. Because whoever you're talking to, your client, your customer, like seek first to understand. And so then I would, when I start applying this to men.
That's very feminine, by the way, honey. That's very feminine, sister.
Yeah.
Empathy is a feminine quality. So yeah. Good for you. Good for you. Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I've used that. And the more I sit and just go, okay, it can't be a me versus them or that. It can't be this battle of the sexes. First thing I want to do is understand what they're going through, what their struggles are, what is important to them, because it's probably really similar. We probably have more commonalities than we do differences. And when you sit there and when you really try to like understand that, it puts you in this place of appreciation and respect and
honor.
Yeah. And you don't feel like you have to have your guard up against it. And that has really kind of done wonders for me. And again, helped me find my way back to the feminine side of me that really does love to nurture and take care of and be and just in doing all the wonderful feminine things that I can do that make a man feel really good.
I can feel I read bodies. I'm watching your body when you were saying that. I mean, there was something really yummy and juicy when you were saying it. And it's like I use the word delight. We take delight in lighting up and being enchanting to the masculine, and not just our partners. Even the way we make eye contact with someone at the grocery store, we can totally, or just letting somebody help us with our suitcase on the airplane.
Bless her heart. She used to tell me this shit. She'd be like, he just asked you if he could do something for you. And you just sort of like, no, I got it. She's like, no, just let him do it.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Well, I would love to send you this 30-day sacred respect. And I love you. It would be my gift to you. I'd love to see you do this. And I'll have to tell Kelsey too. Let me write a note. I'll tell Kelsey to send you a discount code, and we can give you all a code for your audience too, because it's a really fun course. Good. Yeah. And I'll give it to you. I'll just comp it for you, because I'd love for you to, because it'll be fun to see you and what you're doing out there in the world practicing this for this 30 days. It's a really, I'm very proud of it, because I know for me, I didn't realize I was emasculating my own son, for example, right? Until I started doing this work. I didn't realize when we tell a man or a boy, depending on their age, of course, we got to be a mom, but what to do, we're emasculating them. If we're in the drive, if we're in the passenger seat and telling them where to go, I was like, what? That's emasculating? What are you talking about? Right?
No.
I had no idea. So this is such an interesting, this capsule, and I'm super proud of it, because that's how I started doing this work. I didn't realize that I was withholding this juice inside of me, and that really the world needs. I mean, the world needs more of what we have. And again, we need more men to be in touch with their hearts as well. Like anytime a man's like helping, you know, he's bathing their kids, or he's throwing the football, or he's playing, he's in his feminine, right?
But I know, but I just got to tell you, this is another thing. My mom, I love her. She used to always tell me, she's like, because I just got caught in the masculine, and she would see it. She would be like,
I love her. Yes.
No, she'd just be like, you know, anytime I'd make a masculine move, she'd be like,
honey, that's your heart.
Just right. I mean, just like, well, what it could be, whatever it was. He did this, and I can't forgive him. And even she would just look at me, she'd go, yeah, but even if you tried, would you be any worse off than you are right now?
Wow.
Like, just to forgive somebody of something.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess not. And then I would try it, you know what I mean? Begrudgingly, right? Because it's your mom. But yeah, I mean, she really did see how and understand the power in feminine energy.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And how I didn't see it then. I'm so grateful. Like, I love, because her words, you know, she passed away, and there's so many things now that I'm experiencing. I'm like, God damn it. I wish I could ask her. Like, oh, this would be such a great conversation.
So incredible.
Her.
Yeah.
Now that I've gone through this evolution, and I've really realized what my biggest goals now are in my life is just to really be in my feminine and all that entails. And because it really does feel so good when I'm with a partner and I do things from the start of the day, it can be like, okay, before he leaves this morning, I'm going to initiate with him.
Yeah.
And just, he's going to walk out that door feeling like a fucking man, right?
Yes.
Today, I can guarantee you
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And when he comes home, you know, it'll be like, I got dinner ready. I mean, like, I really do enjoy, it's hilarious to me from where I came.
Right.
That I was thinking about how many millions am I making? And to now it's like, I'm so excited that I made this pot roast for you.
Exactly. It's like crock pot dinners and all the things. I mean, yeah, I know. I won't show you recipes later, honey.
Because I didn't even actually consider that before. Like, he would really find love, respect, and appreciation in me just actually caring about what he's eating, what his lunch is, what his food is, that his I don't mind doing the damn laundry. I love it. Like, it's easy.
Well, let me say this. Oh, that's so good. So there's a video that we have out there, and it's how to make art out of the mundane. Even if you're like pissed off at your partner because they're not putting the dishes in the dishwasher, like there's a way that you can artfully. And this came from one of my teachers when she's like, even when he doesn't turn his socks inside out, and you can just lovingly be devoted to when you put your hand through the sock and you pull it out and you just pour love and devotion in every sock or every time you're scrubbing. And listen, I'm not saying that we need to be stepford wives or any of that. I'm saying that there's a way that we could put devotion in everything, even if it's, I know we don't have a lot of more time, but I'll share this too. We didn't get into is the art of the command. We also love a man. I haven't met a woman yet who is totally in her masculine and she's unhappy in her partnership. And I'm like, when's the last time that he pushed you up against the wall, held your hands over your head and kissed you with abandon? She's like, and then she gets kind of like gooey. Or I ask a man that when he's like, I don't think she'd like that. I'm like, try me. Most of us want to be commanded. Yeah. And there's variations.
No, this is the problem. So many women have been brainwashed into, that's not a fair word. We've just followed the current.
Indoctrinated. It's like an indoctrination. Yes.
We followed what we thought was good for us. And it wasn't to try to actually do it to anybody's detriment. We just were like, oh.
It just is.
Liberated. Like, we can do this. Well, we've always been that way. But we found this avenue to plug into. And that I feel really has taken us away from the things that biologically and emotionally and chemically just make us feel better. And really what we were designed for. And that's not a bad thing because it's not the weaker position. It is half of the same coin, that feminine and then that masculine. And everybody has different, like you were saying earlier, they all have different semblances of each one of those things in them. But it's really knowing kind of when to just really be in your lane and then step out of it.
Yeah.
That's appropriate at times, but then you have to also understand when that serves you well and when it doesn't. And I think that for women, we've had this long period, more than a decade, I'm going to say two decades. I mean, we could even say since 1963, when birth control was available to married women, but you know, single women were like, well, fuck it, we got that too.
I know.
Like, and then it became finally, you know,
right.
And all that, but there's been all these really interesting things that have gone on with women that when you put it all together, you can kind of see, and it's none of these things are bad. It's just that they're all good, but we've kind of utilized them in ways that are bringing results that we don't necessarily want. And then we're kind of confused about, holy shit, how did we get here?
It's so true. I mean, the women's liberation was amazing for us. It needed to happen. And we now get to we get to make some of the rules now too. And that is what's so exciting about this, is that we really do. I totally agree with everything you just said. And it is a way, it's not about bashing. It's actually, I mean, it really goes back to love. It's like love. It's like, it really comes back.
I love men. I can't bash them. I can't get on board with this battle of the sexes. And in fact, I'm very much, that concerns me. And what my thing is, let's help everybody find their, get back to their most homeostatic level and live a life that they really, really feel good about and connect. And that means sexually.
It's primal. Right? I mean, it is. Yeah. It's how we got here. It's how you got here. It's how I got here. It's how I knew you got here. It's like the teetotalers. It's the judgment. Hey, you got here because somebody had sex. I promise.
Somebody did.
I mean, I don't know, but that's what, I mean, I guess there's test tubes and things like that. I mean, who knows? But I mean, there's probably going to be, who knows down the road, but at least for right now, I know that's how I got here. Yeah. It's interesting too, hearing.
Oh, let me just jump right to my number 10. Cause I actually think this will go well with what I think this question's in line with what you're also trying to do. Well, it's really just the future of feminine sexuality. And where do you see, we know what's happened, what we've done, where we've been, and where we're at right now. And where do you see the future of feminine sexuality heading, especially in the light of just all these evolving conversations around sex and gender and just everything? Like,
Great question.
Yeah. Where do you see us going at this point? How would you like to play a part of that?
Thank you for that question. I think there's definitely been a reclamation that we are stepping into our power, our sovereignty, our boundaries of what we're about, what we're claiming that we want. I see it more and more. There is a reclamation with women, at least here in the States, for sure. We'll speak to that. And a reclamation of knowing what we want. We're getting curious. We're allowing ourselves to be curious. And I see it more and more. Regarding gender and such, I mean, that's something that is fascinating. I personally think there's going to be a backlash down the road. I think that there's going to be that people have been confused, and because of whatever reason, right? Trauma, what have you. I mean, I've also heard during COVID, a lot of this actually came during COVID because people were kind of bored. And there was a lot of things that people not just bored, they actually like coming out of the woodwork to speak about it. And so people are actually being more honest about what they believe, which I think is important to be able to speak what they believe. But I do think that that's important that we all speak what we believe and be able to show up that way. I think to your point we talked about earlier, being able to understand your own body and stepping into your own understanding, I think actually practicing more empathy, I mean, is going to help too, to understand another person's point of view. I mean, that's not super sexy, but you and I both know if we seek to understand, which you mentioned earlier when you were and always, because that's just you, that's emotional intelligence. You don't lose that. That's who you are, which is probably one reason why we connected so quickly. I think the way of the world is, I think there's always going to be oppression. There's always going to be oppression. I think it's a secular. I think it's a matter of, we talked about rewilding in the beginning. That's who we are. We were burned at the stake, right? Because we have that intuition. We could see into people. And that's scary as heck for the bigger administrations, in my opinion, right? So I think the more that we're brave and stepping up and being courageous, the better we're going to be, not just out there on a platform like you and I have, but more of like, are you willing to speak up at home? Are you willing to actually spread your legs in front of the mirror? Are you willing to look at yourself, right? Much less look over the neighbor, right?
There's a new way of looking at yourself in the mirror. Are you willing to spread your legs in front of the mirror? That's not, you can stand there, but are you going to spread your legs in front of the mirror? Because that's a different level.
I've got an embodiment practice, like a mirror practice. It's not spreading your legs, but that may be something I'm on to, because there's nothing better than like eye gazing with a partner or even a friend. I mean, you and I could do that here and both of us would end up in tears because we can see into it somebody's soul, especially if you look in their left eye. And I'll go back to the whole claiming thing. I don't think there's anything sexier than hearing spread your legs or I want to spread my legs for you or something like that. This is so true.
Well, you know what I think is really sexy? When you're with a partner and they're like, you're mine.
Yes.
That! Yes. It's like,
yes. It's a claim. It is. Oh. Listen, there's this thing we do in Sacred She. It's like you come up with your core desire. She who must be claimed. She who must be ravaged. She who must be ravaged. She who must be protected. She who must be provided for. And I don't mean just money. I mean, what does that mean for you? We get down to the nitty gritty because at the end of the day, it's primal. We do. I don't care how much money you have. Ladies, there's a part of us that wants to be provided for in some capacity. And there's a lot of, we have the capacity to make just as much money as men, and many of my clients do. And so that's actually where we work with the polarity of the masculine feminine, where we really have to train these women to actually show up more in their feminine so they can out feminine their partners in some ways. And we teach the men how to out masculine their partner's masculine. And that can get kind of fun at times. And also we make it very artful too, but because let's face it, when we come home from work, even if it's like leaving our office and at home and walking out to our family, our partner, if we're still in like, get it done mode, it's not super sexy. So what can you do to have a line of demarcation between CEO Sandy and then Celeste, that fun, joyful playmate that I am out there in the world, right?
Yeah.
It's intentional. Yeah. You have to be intentional. It's not, I had to train myself to be the way I am because I was not raised this way. Like, I can remember, like, being in church and my arm, like, start raising in church. And my mom's like, what are you doing? Like, I was able to feel energy when I was a little kid. And I wasn't alive. I didn't know what that meant until, like, years ago. I'm like, oh, so that's what that was? Oh, okay. That's cool. It's just, I mean, honestly, about getting back in our feeling body. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think the more that we actually not just stay in our own lane, but I think it's around speaking up and also owning our own pleasure, to your point when we started, and also being a gift to the world, being enchanting to the world as the feminine, allow your light to shine, allow yourself to speak up, allow yourself to wear two colors of different shoes. I don't care what you do, change your nail polish, start there.
You know what I think, the way I put it to most women now, it's like, just really honestly, allow yourself, it's a simple thing, which this is going to be hard for a lot of women, allow yourself to be cared for.
It's so hard though, girl. I gotta say, for, I mean, that,
that right there,
scary, like, just, hell. It's scary. That, it's funny. It's a scary trauma response.
Stuff. Oh, I know. I've already been through it.
It's scary. I work with so many women with limiting beliefs around that. And we heal the mother wound. We heal the father wound. And we heal the wounds that actually cause us to show up that way. That was me for sure. And, you know, and I teach the last 5% gets healed in partnership, because it's easy to be single out there, believe it or not, this, right? But when you get in partnership, you better believe all your childhood stuff's going to come up. So like my husband and I.
You think you got it together. Get somebody in front of you who's mirroring back what you are putting out, and you're going to realize how actually you don't have it together. And that's what's probably scaring you away, because it makes you think that it's them or whatever. No.
It's the best teacher. Your partner, your kids, they're the best teacher. The person who's aggravating the hell out of you is actually your best teacher. And so, like my husband and I, we've been married 5 years coming up in a couple of weeks. And it has been, we got married after 111 days. So we didn't really know each other very well. And so we got married and we're like in it. And I believe the last 5% gets healed. And I can tell you this last, 2023 was one of the hardest years of my life. And I thought I was like made in the shade, you know, all of this. And then it was tough because we're at that place where we are triggering the hell out of each other from childhood stuff. Now it is the cream has risen to the top. And because we're both seekers, we're out there doing the work, but it hasn't been easy. But when you learn about attachment styles and you understand polarity, and when I'm not feeling safe, if I feel like he doesn't have me, then I show up very masculine, which depolarizes him. So it's all of these things. And I know everything I know. So it's been an interesting walk for me. And it says, I teach from my own experience, the people that like my more advanced group, they kind of like walk the walk with me, and then I'll heal all this and I'll bring it out to the world. But wow, it's been interesting in this earth school. I've been in earth school, right? And I'm like, here I am getting my master's degree in relationship, being in relationship. And then also that imposter syndrome and that shame that we feel as women sometimes, like we don't belong here. Like, how can I be having this problem? I teach this. I have couples fly in to see me. What's going on? And understand that's the bitch in our head that is basically trying to, our ego mind trying to protect us, that we're not worthy of the very love that we really crave, which is that devoted, sacred union that we all really, really are striving for.
Yeah. But lastly, I'll say, we have to also recognize this before we wind up here, is a lot of that stuff honestly comes from, I believe, from social media and just and what we've been exposed to. I don't think our grandmothers or our great grandmothers worried about their femininity showing up.
No, not at all. But I think childhood, I think in our DNA, I think there's definitely things in our DNA that show up, and you heal those things too with energy work. But you're damn straight. I think social media, comparison, all of that. I mean, we used to just live in these little grids. Now we've got the entire world we get to shop from, right? Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Well, we used to just get to compare ourselves against, you know, like our peer group and the people that we knew in our neighborhood or in our schools or whatever. Now it's the whole world. We get to say, well, no wonder we're not good enough, because we can always find an example of somebody who's living a better life than we are.
Well, your first crush is your dad. So how was your relationship with your dad? Right? And your relationship with your mom.
We all wanted to marry our dads. Do you remember that? When we were little girls, and we were talking about who we're going to marry, it was always our dads.
Yep. And so when my daddy and mom split up when I was 12, I mean, there was like everything ended for me then. So then it also began. So it really is. And it's, I don't love to go all into everybody's past and their stories, but sometimes it's important to kind of tease that apart and shine the light on it. So then you can heal it and then move forward, because it's just so interesting. We are human beings that are fascinating, and we're all so different, but we're also very much the same. And I think it goes back to being curious. And one of my favorite words, like, are you curious? Or do you seek to understand? I mean, I say that all the time. It's every single person deserves to be asked a question or two. Like, I always love to ask, like, how are you really doing? Like, how are you really doing? And see how people, you know, will answer that question. Most people don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, right?
Sure. Yeah. I know what you're talking about when you ask.
I know you do.
All right. Well, so tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah. Awesome. This was so much fun. Thank you. I feel like it's a Friday. That was like so much fun. It feels like Friday every day for me. This is how I love to feel. So thank you. That was a blast for the middle of the day. SandySembler.com. Also Instagram. We do a lot of things on Instagram. And I know we're going to do the SandySembler.com quiz. And so everybody can take my free quiz, and you can like determine whether you're more masculine or feminine. And just because you're a woman doesn't mean you'll test feminine, that's for sure. And then also, I really do want to do a code for your guests for that sacred respect course that we have. So all that will be in your show notes. But SandySembler.com, but Sandy Sembler on Instagram or Facebook. I'm on all the things.
All right, great. All right. Well, there you go. Thank you so much for being on. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for sharing part of your Saturday with me and listening to this episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I had so much fun, and I always love your feedback. You know what I'd love you to do? I'd love you to go to thecuriousgirldiaries.com. You can leave me a voicemail. Just click on the pink tab on the right-hand side. You have 5 minutes. Let me know what your feedback is. We can talk about anything and everything that you want. I get back to everybody personally, and it's a lot of fun. You've spent years getting to know me. Now I get to know you too. All right, everyone, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.